I'm glad you like each other. That's a good sign. Thanks for being here tonight. I hope you're having a good week. And if you don't have air conditioning, I hope you've had some access to a good shade. But it's good. The Lord's good. So good to see each of you here. And I do just pray. I hope that you were touched with God's presence during our worship. You know, Wednesdays is kind of like going to the filling station, you know, topping off the tank for the rest of the week. So I pray that you're encouraged as a result of being here tonight. I'm going to be sharing a scripture out of Luke chapter 6 in just a few moments. Luke chapter 6. I'm clicking, but it's not clicking for me. Clickety click, click, click. Tonight I want to talk to you about the next step of obedience. The next step of obedience. Now here's where we're going. There are times in our walk with the Lord when He begins to speak to us and require something of us that we may resist. We may struggle doing it. We may not necessarily agree with it. And there will be more times than not that you really don't understand what God's up to. I'm telling you, in those times, it's so important that we learn just to take the next step of obedience. We have to get where we trust that God knows when we don't. And to get to that place, we have to have enough of the Word in us and be familiar enough with the Holy Spirit's work in us that we can discern that indeed this is God. Now, of course, when the Scripture clearly spells something out, you don't have to wrestle with whether or not that's God, right? But a lot of the times, it's knowing the principles from Scripture. The general principles that's derived from the teaching in Scriptures that help guide us. For instance, in the fall of the summer of, I started to say 1776, and I was really going to date myself. Let me add a couple hundred years to that. In the summer of 1976, in trigonometry class, when I saw Mickey, there wasn't a scripture that says, Mickey shall be your future wife. You know, it just wasn't in there. So, in situations like that, then, well, if this person is to be my future wife, then there's certain things that I need to look for that the scripture does say need to be there. Is she a believer? You know, she walking with the Lord and so forth. So principles are important. His sayings, the teachings of Jesus are so very, very important. So if you've ever struggled with that step of obedience in order to obey God, then tonight's message hopefully will be, you may be doing this right now. You're just not sure. If it's God, take that step of obedience. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says, is teaching here, and He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? In other words, why would you call me Lord if you don't obey me? And then He gives this parable, this teaching. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, there's the obedience, I will show you whom he is like. So here is the parable, the metaphor. He says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it. Why? For it was founded on the rock. That's the obedient person. Receiving Jesus' saying and then taking steps of obedience to apply those sayings to his or her life. But what about the person who does not? Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So, big picture here, it's important to build our lives on the teachings of Jesus Christ. Secondarily, you need to hear the Word, right? You need to hear the Word. But hearing the Word is not enough. Faith comes by hearing. In order to act on what God is saying, you've got to hear it. But once you hear it, in order for the promise that word contains or the benefit that word may offer or the direction that word may give, in order for you to be blessed by that, you have to take a step of obedience and obey it. That's simple. We all know these things. But I just wanted to encourage you tonight along these lines. Now, there was an Old Testament example of this. There was a commander of the army in Syria. His name was Naaman. And he came down with leprosy. Very dreaded disease in Bible times. And a little slave girl that worked with him in those days, that's the way it was, told him about a prophet of God in Israel, speaking of Elijah. So the story goes, he ends up going to Israel, finds out where Elijah lives, and goes to his house, and the commander Naaman sends in his servant. And like in his mind, he's thinking, Elijah, Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, is your honored guest. And Elijah didn't even go out and talk to him. He sent his servant out there and told him, if you want to be healed, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Why, Naaman, he's now heard a word from the Lord, from the prophet of God. He didn't like it. He's like, well, I thought at least he would like come before me and he would call upon God in heaven. In other words, do some kind of, put on a show for me. In other words, Naaman needed a healing, needed the blessing of God on his life. But he almost loses the opportunity to have this blessing because it wasn't being done the way he thought it ought to be done. Now, brothers and dear sisters and friends, Revelation time, God will not always do things in a way that you're going to like. And he won't even consult you about it. He won't even call you and ask you, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. Will that roll all right with you? He doesn't do that. And so Elijah, he's hearing from the Lord. What the Lord is doing, he's breaking down the pride of Naaman. And so Naaman's thinking, the Jordan, because at that time the Jordan was a muddy river, like, go and take a bath in a muddy river, and this is supposed to help me. Why not go to the far, far river or this river over here, the clear, beautiful, nice rivers? Why not there? You see, God's not interested in pleasing us in that way. He's very interested in dealing with us in ways where we have to obey Him radically, unconditionally. Okay, Lord, I don't understand it. Don't like it in the natural, don't really agree with it, but I know this is you, and what you want is so much more important to me than my own opinion, my own desires, my own pleasures. And it's great when we can arrive at that place. And when we arrive there, our problem is we don't stay there long. Have you noticed the warfare? But so Elijah tells him to do that, and he's just upset. And so he's just like, well, I can't believe, you know, how rude, blah, blah, blah. But then his servant tells him, sir, if he had given you something that you had to do, then wouldn't you have done it? Yes. Well, why don't you do this? So he humbles himself, goes down to the Jordan River, and for those of you who've read the story, he dips one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, and nothing's happened, right? But when the word of the Lord is fully obeyed, he comes up out of the water the seventh time, and, oh, I'll just let you, if you want to read that story, it's 2 Kings 5, 1 through 19, but here's what it says. It says that his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. You know, I read an article about 3 weeks ago where they're doing the DNA editing and stuff on and a lady experimenting with her. And they did something to her, and her skin went back to that of a person who was 30 years younger. I imagine the line will be long for that. But listen, that's not new. I mean, that's so much medical stuff. This was a supernatural touch of God on a man's life and restored his flesh like it was of a little child. A leprosy-eaten man who almost lost his blessing because of his pride and because God didn't do it the way he thought it ought to be done. So our pride is going to be confronted as we follow the Lord and we walk with Him. Things are going to be required of us. But what God is really after is for us just to trust Him. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. To me, one of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible is Job. Though he slay me, so, Naaman's a good example of that next step of obedience. Just go do it, Naaman. Dip seven times. And when he did, got his miracle. He could have gone home mad. He could have gone home angry. Like, that's not a man of God. Well, that's no word of God. Israel has no God. He could have easily drawn those conclusions had he not obeyed the word. But the moment he obeyed the word, he found out he is the God of Israel. He is the God. He's a supernatural miracle worker, way maker, promise keeping God. Okay. Let me make this practical too. The next step of obedience, because I've known people who have resisted following the Lord in baptism after they're saved. Now, in the natural, I understand there sometimes can be fear of water and maybe medical conditions. I'm not saying there may not be some reasons behind that. But the truth is, once you come to know Jesus Christ, your first step of obedience is to be baptized. Very clear in the Scripture. I mean, I don't know how the phrase Johnny on the spot came into being. But one of you do the study on the etymology of that and educate us. But in the Scriptures, when somebody was saved, they were baptized, Johnny on the spot. Why? So apparently, it's important to obey. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's an act of obedience to God. Your baptism does not save you. You've got to be saved before your baptism means what it's supposed to mean. Because when you're baptized, you're saying, I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried, and God raised him from the dead. When you're baptized, you are saying, I too, I have died to my old way of life. And that old way of life and the old man, it has now been buried. And now I have been raised to walk in newness of life. When you are baptized, you are prophesying, though this body in which I live my life, though one day it may die and it may be buried at the second coming of Jesus Christ, I'll be given a new body and it will be raised from the dead. So your baptism pictures all of that when you're baptized. And so this is your public testimony, your public witness. It's your attestation to the fact, hey, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I too now have died and I'm walking in newness of life. It's a picture of the sin being cleansed and washed away. Your conscience has been made pure by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. It's important. Now, what's happened in theological circles is some people place such a heavy emphasis on baptism, it makes many of us uncomfortable because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from sin, not the waters of baptism. And but because of that, then it can cause people to like drift back from baptism and not give it the importance it needs to have. You know, let me tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ is important and baptism is important because they're both God's Word, and We're called to confess Christ as Lord and be cleansed through His blood. We're called to walk into the waters of baptism and identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's important to take that step. I'm dogmatic or on this, but it's my belief that sometimes a person's failure to follow the Lord in baptism hinders them from the blessing that God wants to release in their life. I believe that. I believe the principles of Scripture bear that out. I had a man I knew when I lived in Haleville, and I was pastoring there at First Baptist Church. Got to know his family rather well. I didn't get to know him real well. I knew him. But after I experienced the Holy Spirit and the power in a way that I'd never experienced, and God called me out to begin to minister to the water body of Christ and so forth, this young man came to a meeting that I was preaching on a Saturday night. And it was a powerful meeting. It was in an adjoining county down, actually it was in Marion County where I was preaching. And he was from Winston County, and he was the meeting. At the time, he was very addicted to cocaine. He was very addicted to alcohol. This is his public testimony. I'm not talking out of school here. He was very addicted to pornography. And he also was very addicted to cigarettes. That and other things. He had a pretty long list. But he came up that night, and that man, I watched this young man. That time he was probably 30. I watched him just come under conviction of the Holy Spirit. Those tears began to stream down his face. He became a broken man before God, and I saw his countenance change. He got up from there. Now, his testimony, even to this day, and this has been a number of years, he was delivered from the desire for cocaine. Had no desire for it. Now, I'm not saying that happens to everybody when they get saved. But it did for him. He got delivered from alcohol. He didn't thirst for it anymore. He got delivered from his pornography. But he couldn't give up the nicotine, his cigarettes. Now, he knew they weren't what were best for him. I'm not saying that sin is what separates us from God, and you can put a million things on that list. So I'm not trying to nitpick or condemn anybody, but he wanted to quit the cigarettes. That was his desire, and he just couldn't let it go. That went on for some time. As a matter of fact, he actually moved to Florence where I was pastoring down the road and started attending. And he loved Jesus. I mean, he was one of the most vocal ameners. I mean, he's passionate. He, this brother, he'll call me every now and then. I love him so much. If I was in a trench and I needed somebody to fight with me, I'd want him right there. He was that kind. He had that bulldog faith, you know. And so I spent some time trying to mentor him, but I kept telling him, you need to be baptized. And I don't know why this resisted, but finally he said, you know, Pastor Eddie, I'm going to get baptized. So one Sunday night, he went down into the waters of baptism, and he was baptized there. When he came up out of the water, after that, he never had another desire for a cigarette. It was that next step of obedience that he needed to take that he had not taken that kept him from that breakthrough and deliverance he needed in his life. Finish it for me. To him who knows to do good and does it not. Remember, I shared that Sunday, how the Lord nailed me on that last week. It's true. And so, there may be a situation or a circumstance going on in your life tonight, and you don't have to do a bunch of dredging and try to think, now, what could it be? What could it be? What could it be? No, I'm talking about the thing that you know, because it's right there and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Or it could be it's a good thing. It's just like, you know, God's requiring you to take another step so that you can go deeper with Him, be more obedient to have His blessing on your life, and maybe there's a little fear, or you really don't want to give this up over here. That's not necessarily a sinful thing, but you know you're not going to have time for that. And your spirit's saying, okay, the Lord's going to require this. He's been real patient, but now it's time. And you're not going to see things change until you take that step. I had that happen to me when God started dealing with me. When Mickey and I got married, she had a much closer walk with the Lord than I did. I was raised in church, and I knew I was saved at the age of 10. I was baptized. But other things just kind of captivated my life. I'd go to church on Sunday. I'm a good old boy. I'd go to church on Sunday. But she'd go on Sunday night and Wednesday night, you know. But a lot of times, I'm just too tired. I don't want to go. And I'd watch her. You've heard me say this. I'd look out the window, and when she hit the road, and I'd get my stuff and go fishing. You know, that's just where I was. I mean, yeah, I loved God, but like, I needed to take that step. And then God began to stir my heart, and I began to study, and I knew He was requiring more. I went through a season where I had pretty terrible digestive issues. I mean, just really. I might have prophesied it on myself all those times I told Mickey I didn't feel good when I really, you know. But I really started having these digestive problems, and it was just, and then I just think about, you know, I know this is not right. I know I need to live better than I'm living. I was convicted by how faithful she was. And this went on for a number of months until one Sunday evening in the spring of 1983, and I hit that altar, and I let it all go. And I said, okay, God, I know my life's not going to be right until this is right. And it was, listen, a lot happened in a moment. I got right with God, and at the moment that I got right with Him, I knew what He was calling me to do with my life. It is cleared. Cleared. Sometimes the direction that you think you're so hungry for, you're not going to get it until you take that next step of obedience. Listen, the Christian life is a life of faith. Maybe a word that might mean more to you. In the natural, it's a risky life. You're going to have to risk some things to walk with God. Now, in the spiritual, it's not a gamble at all, because God's got all the resources of all the universe and all the power and all the knowledge and all the wisdom. But as far as you're in your humanity, it requires that step of faith for you to connect with what God's offering you. It's the way it works. Just like in the realm of spiritual warfare, it's about authority. Not about how loud you holler and all that. It's about your authority and knowing who you are and that you have authority over the enemy. Every demon and devil that come at you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You've been given authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can trample the enemy under feet. So, but again, that's things we know. But when the enemy comes and starts attacking, and we start griping and complaining and murmuring and all this, instead of rising up in faith and using our authority, we may have heard it, we may know it, but until we take that step of obedience and apply it to our life, we're not going to see the result of it. That's the next step of obedience. Do the next right thing. All right? In 2018, which has been a little over 4 years ago now, our elders, we kind of came to a crossroads here at Grace House about, okay, what's the future going to look like? We love being here. God so blessed us being here. But God began to stir us. And I think I can speak, hopefully I can speak for all of them in saying this. We're looking, we know how long we've been around, you know, and like in the natural, sometimes everything's going good. We could just maybe coast. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying? Just enjoy it. But all of us, all six of us, we came to the place, the Lord, in order for Grace House to be who God's called her to be, and to position ourselves for our children and our children's children, we're going to need more space. We're going to need our own facility. That's a big decision, a real big decision, because we had an idea of what that was going to require. We knew where we were, knew what we had, and looked at what that was going to require, and there was a big difference between the two. Started looking for property, found four properties that were available, got with the real estate people. They gave us the pricing on all of it. We looked at the four places. We, pros, cons, but just sought the Lord. And we ended up feeling really good about the Seville Street property. That's 4 years ago. So we started applying everything that we could, just trusting God. Lord, you know, we really don't have the resources to pray for this property. And we're not even talking about putting a building on it yet. And I'll be honest with you that within 2 years, this fellowship, and this is, I think this whole time we've had, is it two special offerings? Two special offerings in 4 years for a building program. We paid off an $839,000 piece of property in 2 years without reducing what we were given to missions and cutting back on what we were doing as a church. I still don't know how that happened. I mean, we didn't get any, you know, you hear stories of churches, and I would receive it. I mean, I'd love for it to hear it about Grace House, you know, where somebody writes you a $2 million check. Right? I mean, that'd be awesome. We would adjust. But just people being faithful in their giving, believing in it, you know, wanting to not just settle, not just coast, but to expand and to create an apostolic center of training where we're all being equipped and we're encountering God's presence and we're being equipped by God's Word and being empowered by God's Spirit and connecting with God's people and mobilizing around God's purpose, then deploying to fulfill God's plan. It's what I've written in this little book that I made available. That's the deal. I went to like four or five different banks, and they looked at it and they said, "You're not ready to build. We can't give you a loan, you know." But the people that we had borrowed the money from, that we paid off in 2 years, they came to us after they had a board meeting and said, "You people have proven that you mean business. You know, this will long." So they, you know, and within about a month, we should be headed toward our new facility. Our faith has become inside. And that's just the Lord. There's no human explanation. But in order for that to become reality, it required a step of obedience. And not only that, I believe God's going to pay it off early. And then we're going to start phase two, which will be an institute of creativity. The Lord gave me a vision about that. But we'll celebrate this one for now, okay? But this is the Christian life. It's a life of faith. And may I remind you, it's not about the building. If God's presence is not there, we just choose any old warehouse. We want God's presence. We want people to encounter God, to know He's a true and living God. He's a God who answers prayer, that you can hear His voice, that you can have His gifts operating in your life. Derek, would you come up? I asked Derek on the way in, would you have a story about where you were challenged to obey God? He said, "Yes, I do." And we are about to hear it.
Works good. It says on, you flip it on. You said 34 minutes, all right? 3 or 4. Oh, could be my hearing. Well, you know, when I was about 15, the Lord began to deal with me, and one day I was sitting in a church, in my home church, and an evangelist was preaching, and we were there. If my mom was kind of like Mickey, she was there every time the doors opened. They were scrubbing the toilets. Well, we were there with her. So I was sitting there in the back row and just half-heartedly listening. But all of a sudden, something caught my attention. They said, and I said, you know, just kind of to myself. I didn't say it out loud. I just thought it'd kind of be neat to stand up there and tell people about Jesus. And in that instant, the Lord said, "That's what I'm calling you to do." Well, it caught me off guard. It surprised me because I was having a conversation with just me, myself, and I. There was nobody else invited here. But how many of you know the Lord has a way of planting those seeds, harvesting them, and bringing them to fruition, and you just think it's your idea. But when the next 3 years, I ran, and I ran hard. I said, "That's not what I want to do, you know? That's not what I want to do." I would come Sunday after Sunday sometimes and stand before my pastor, and I said, "I just need you to pray for me." He said, "What do you want me to pray for?" "I just need you to pray for me. I just need you to pray for me." I mean, I know the people in my church, this is a little Baptist church. They was like, "There's something wrong with that boy. I don't know what it is, but there's something wrong with him." Well, this went on for about 3 years. So I was about 18 years old, and I walked down that aisle one time. And I told the pastor then, I said, "I'm through fighting." I said, "I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do because I've been fighting Him long enough." And I said, "I've been crying myself to sleep at night because I'm lonely, I feel lost, I feel separated from God. And that's not where I want to live, and that's not where I want to be. I'm ready to do whatever God wants me to do, and I believe He's calling me to the ministry." He said, "I was about time." He said, "I've watched you battle this for 3 years." And he said, "I knew what God was calling you to do, but it wasn't my place to tell you." As a result of that one step of obedience, just walking down the aisle and saying, "Lord, I give up," my life that I live has followed. My wife, my children, all the blessings of God that's followed that one moment of surrender, I wouldn't trade it for anything. brother.
Thank you, Derek. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our staff, altar workers, just to come. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, all of us in this room probably have had times when we've had these kind of struggles you've heard about tonight. And like Derek, sometimes it's the not knowing, and you can be frustrated, but a lot of times, those times of not knowing change when we have the prayer of surrender that Derek just talks about. Lord, whatever it is, whatever is required, wherever it takes me, here I am, I'm yours. Boom. That moment. You could have a moment like that tonight. Maybe things need to change in your home, in your marriage. Maybe you're having a struggle with a parent or a child. Job situation, financial situation, a health situation, the list is long. But God's the same. One step of obedience. Sometimes one prayer that's prayed. Just submitting yourself to receive, to pray. So Father, I pray, just thanking you that you know every heart in the room right now. Every challenge before every heart in the room. You're well aware, Lord, of what needs to happen in all of our lives. May we hear your voice for ourselves tonight. And may there be a yes in our hearts. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, O Lord. We're going to begin to worship and sing. And if you need prayer, just step out from where you are and come on up. We'll dismiss here in just a few moments, but we'll continue to pray with you as long as is needed. But we want to give you the opportunity tonight to receive ministry, to be encouraged. One step of obedience. Would you come as we sing or have the music playing? Yes, that would be good. Play music. You can come on up without music.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your head for a moment right where you are, and what's the Lord speaking to you? Okay. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for the way you touch our hearts. Thank you for the way you speak to us. Are there others who need to come? We may need some more people up here to help pray. You come, just step out from where you are.
You're good and far. You're a good, good Father. You're a good, good Father. So good. So good. You are good. You're a good, good Father. To you all.
Dear brother back here with the beard.
Yes.
Fine, looking back there, do you ever really believe the Lord just wants to encourage you tonight? It's almost like you've fought a barbed wire fence, that kind of thing. I'm seeing a lot of battles and scars. And I feel like the Lord is saying that there is going to be such a redemption. We hear this term, He turns your scars into stars. But there's a redemption on that. The things that you've had to fight through and you've had to face, God's putting a redemption on that in your life to where there's going to be a flow of ministry from your heart. The things you're going to share with people that are in similar circumstances, there's going to be an anointing and authority on your life. And I'm not necessarily saying He's calling you, quote, into some type of platform ministry. That's between you and Him, but I do see you, God, ministering through you to other people, whatever that may look like. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying that there's a the prayers you're praying for is like your family line, your family tree, that you have an authority for that. So as well, there's going to be like some areas where you take a stand. And it's like a forerunner for your family line and saying, this stops here. There's a redemption on this now that my children, my children's children, there's going to be the blessing of God where it has not been. And there's going to be, you're going to have authority to close doors that have not been closed. And so I just release that to you. And I pray, Father, you'd bless my brother. I pray that you'd strengthen him tonight according to your glorious power. I pray, Lord, that in the night season he would have dreams that would bring understanding to him about what you've given him to do. And Lord, I pray he'd have an internal knowing when he's around people that you want to use him to minister to. And that the words would just flow out of his mouth, Lord, they would be anointed by the power of your Spirit. And so I pray this in Jesus' name. You be blessed. Amen. You receive that? Amen. Amen. We appreciate you being here tonight. And I know this may sound a little it's not a small thing to you, but like you're on your left foot in your toes. I don't know if it's like a gout type pain, but the couple of toes there in the middle of your left foot, you're having a lot of severe pain in those toes. When I was releasing that word earlier, I started getting a lot of pain in that area of my body, and a lot of times that's the way the Lord will speak to me. And so if that's you, would you come up? I'd like to pray with you before you go tonight. We'll ask the Lord just to deliver you from that pain and heal you in Jesus. Is that you, brother? Okay. Thanks for being here on this Wednesday. May God's grace be strong upon you. May His peace fill your heart to overflowing. And I pray that His love, you'd just be plunged deep into the depths of His love, that when people are around you, they smell the fragrance of heaven from your life. In Jesus' name. Now let's go change the world. Thanks for being here.